I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
This podcast is about adult films and discusses adult content. It's not meant for anyone under 18 years old. It's also hosted by two women, so keep it in the pants, guys. Well, that is, until someone asks you to whip it out. Now strap in, remember your safety word, and enjoy this week's episode.
Oh yeah, this is There Will Be Porn with Kate and Murda.
Hello, and welcome to
There Will Be Porn.
This is a podcast about pornography. We watch the AVN's top 100 adult films from 100 to 1. We think about... Wait, let me get through it. We think about what porn has to teach us as sex-positive women, and we sing along with porn musicals and ask ourselves, is that hot? It is. That's the answer. We love them. I am one of your sexy hosts. K. And my co-host over there.
It's Murda.
That's right. That's me. I'm Murda.
Damn, Murda.
Coming in hot.
This week, we're doing something a little special. Normally, we would do a recap of one of the movies on the AVN Top 100 list, or we would do a recap of a special holiday movie or a special guest movie. But because we had such a phenomenal conversation with Eitan Levine about his involvement with Hamilton, we are going to talk about basically his involvement in the porn industry.
Yep.
We have some extras from that interview that were really cool and we want to share with you.
Yeah,
and
you can follow him at Eitan the Goalie on mm-hmm. social media, and you can find his website at eitanlevine.com. Mm-hmm. It was very funny because during this interview, he would call his job, his profession, as comedian and writer, but he would say that this porn is now his top billed success.
I think so. This porn was pretty incredible. So we recapped it 2 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, a month ago. Damn, girl. Times have changed.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It's been so long.
Trump's being impeached.
Oh, please let that be true. to our friends who live forward in time, if you haven't heard that, you should go back and listen to it. It was really good. But for this episode, we're going to talk more in general about the porn industry and what his experience was, because this is the first time we had someone in the room who'd actually worked in the adult film industry. So we had a lot of questions.
Yes.
Including about his experience at the AVN Expo,
yes.
where he saw a number of cam girls and industry people, and he also saw a demonstration of sex dolls.
Ooh.
Before we get into the interview, I did some research on sex dolls.
Can we take a poll before we get into it?
What do you mean
poll? Why don't you call me what the segment's called first?
The segment is called... Where's my dad bod?
I like that.
Okay.
But quick, what I want to, since we're going to be talking about sex dolls, you said.
Yes, sex dolls.
Let's take a poll. Okay. What's our feeling on them? Have we ever used them?
Oh, between just the two of us. This Gallup poll is just a two-person sample.
Most of the things we do are just a two-person sample because we're speaking into an echo chamber where no one else is listening.
Yes, exactly. all of our imaginary friends out there, listen to our poll results. How do I feel about sex dolls? Well, I had feelings about them until I started researching them.
Okay.
And I think my feelings have changed a lot.
Okay.
Not negative or positive in any way. I always felt like sex dolls were the, like, silicone women.
Right.
And you, like, there was a point in my life where I think I was like, I could imagine, like, before I actually started having group sex, I was like, I could imagine using this as a way to, like, practice having a threesome. A sex doll, like one of those really expensive ones.
Oh, okay. With your partner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It just made sense to me. I was like, oh, yeah, this is the evolution of sex toys. This is a sex doll. So that was kind of my early opinion. Right. My opinion now, we can go over later after I give you some information.
Got it.
It's different.
Okay.
Not bad. Just like different.
Okay.
Anyway, what is your, how do you feel about sex dolls? And you know what I mean, right? Like the silicone, like very lifelike sex dolls.
Right. I'm all for them too.
Okay.
But usually I'm not pro or against. I guess that's this neutral, but not necessarily for me because I do feel a little bit like masturbating. Like if I really was choosing a life without sex with people, I would be into it. But what if I'm just trying to like masturbate on my own, an element of using a sex doll for that, like I just want to relax when I masturbate. I like want to just like let my body melt into the bed or the couch or the shower and just like I don't want to like be pounding something or like basically I just imagine no matter what if I'm using a sex doll I'm gonna have to be on top and I like being on top.
Yes,
love being on top. But I don't really want to do that for masturbating. All right. The very
it's
often.
Work. It works your legs and your glutes. I get it. I'm with you on that.
So it's like a little bit more extra work to get off that I don't really need.
Okay. Tell me about it.
Convince me.
I'm not going to convince you.
Oh, okay.
I am going to talk about the sex doll industry.
Okay.
So the story that Eitan told me off Mike, I believe, about his, that we didn't get into the interview, but when the first time I met him, he was telling me about when he went to the AVNs and how one of the funniest things he'd seen was that there was a demonstration of sex dolls that actually would give you blowjobs. Like they had some kind of mechanism in their silicone faces that allowed them to do probably what a fleshlight would
do. Did he watch a blowjob happen?
So... No.
Because I was going to say, I didn't think there was allowed to be sex.
No, there's not allowed to be sex at the expo. But so what they did is they made men like in full clothes wear strap-ons. And then the doll is activated. It's voice activated.
Got it. Interesting.
So you have to literally like Amazon Alexa be like, Alexa, suck my dick. Alexa, harder. Alexa, softer. Alexa, slower. I mean, I don't think the girl's name is Alexa, but you get the idea.
Yes.
Also, if you're listening to this on a speaker, I imagine your Alexa is very confused. Sorry. Not sorry. Alexa, suck my dick. Just went out there into the... Okay, well, anyway. So
harder, faster, stronger, better.
But what he experienced, and I'm so sorry to be stealing this joke from him. I really wanted to say it on air or steal this story from him. I really wanted to say it in the interview, but I forgot to ask him or I started to ask him when we went off topic. But because the Expo Center was so loud that there was literally like... And because the makers of the sex dolls were for a Chinese company and they were being displayed by their workers, that there was a man with a Chinese accent on stage with music playing in the background going, like screaming into the microphone because it was the only way for the robot to hear him. And then there's a bunch of dudes like with these robots fellating dildos
right.
on stage oh in a God. Fucking expo center. And
that's great.
What that reminded me of basically is like how unsexy porn is.
Yes.
For a number of reasons, which yes. we get into in our interview. But I also just thought to myself, like, what is going on with sex dolls that he told this story? So I found a an article online about the struggle. The name of the article is "The Struggle to Make Sex Dolls Straight Women Actually Want."
Got it.
So
yes.
I was immediately like, "This is for me."
Yeah.
And so what the article really goes into is kind of like how predominantly most of the sex dolls are of women. They're this like really high class silicone.
Right.
They have movable parts. They can stand on their own. A lot of them are made in Russia and China. But like the companies are based in Southern California. Here's what some of the names of the sex dolls are called.
Oh, okay.
And the reason I'm going to tell you the names is because I'm going to tell you the female names and then the male name.
Got it.
So the name in the catalog of the female sex dolls are Big Ass Sex Doll, Long Legs Japanese Sex Doll, Big Ass MILF Sex Doll.
Wow.
Or, this one has a name, Ivanka.
Okay.
Russian Bimbo Sex Doll. Okay, cool.
I'm glad at least one of them had a name.
Yeah, Ivanka did.
I'm very surprised more of them did not.
Here are the names of the male sex dolls. Gabriel and Henry. So if that gives you... Now, listen, this is very gross.
Oh my God. It's very funny.
But great marketing. You know what your customer wants. Your customer doesn't want Gabriel, big honking dick motherfucker. Your audience wants him to have a name, a background. What are his hobbies? What is his favorite rom-com that he doesn't tell people
about?
How
does he like to spend his Saturdays?
Does he love to make just like a big old stack of pancakes and watch you eat it? Probably he does, because he can't do anything but sit there and watch you eat.
Oh, God.
So I got into this. I also, as you would imagine, the male sex doll, despite this article talking about how straight women might be a market for sex dolls, this male sex doll is made for men because it's a child. It's a prepubescent boy. Let me introduce you.
Oh, my God.
Now, what's strange about this?
Oh my God. He's so scary.
Yeah, they're scary looking.
Wait, is this a animated, like, rendered image? Or is this actually how he looks?
That's what they look like.
His face looks like a cartoon.
Here's another one. I'll show you. There's another model up here.
Okay, that looks more like
a sex doll.
Yeah.
So these sex dolls are small. Number one, they're slight and small, even though they have big dicks. They have and they have very feminine features.
Yes, they do.
And they often look super young, which tells me gay market. Like, they're marketing to gay men, not women.
Yeah.
Because there'd be some body hair. There'd be some, I don't know. Apparently, they did a poll.
Yeah, that face, he looks like an infant.
An infant, yeah. They look really young. And so they're marketing to gay men. And listen... youth is a fetish that people apparently are infiltrating into the porn world everywhere. Something that we get into with Eitan at one time, but it's, you know, so in this article, they're trying to explore what is the feedback that is given for these sex dolls from when the like companies are trying to get requests from women.
Right.
And so this comes straight from the mouth of somebody who's a part of this manufacturing company. The majority of requests we get from women are for a more attainable guy, a guy with a dad bod, which is why I've titled this, Where is My Dad Bod?
Yeah.
Because realistically, why are there no sex dolls, male sex dolls of they can be very fit, but like Hugh Jackman style hair.
Yeah.
You know, and like size and bulk. Because is it because of materials? Or are they just more expensive to make?
Well, I'm also just like thinking of like Steve Carell's body and 40-year-old virgin.
Yeah, I think
that is
great.
Like the perfect dad bod because it's like slight but like not tight. It's not tight.
I just they're teenage boys and I just can't stand it, you know. Which is why I also found a Vice documentary series called Slut Ever.
Yeah,
where they have, you know, Vice does what it does. It's its own thing. It has a style. And in this episode, they film a woman having sex with the host of the show having sex with a male sex doll.
Got
and
it.
I'm gonna expose this to you, Meredith.
Okay.
Just.
And then, why did you guys decide to make them so recently?
Only now are we starting to get just a little bit of an inkling that women really do want male dolls. Reddit got hold of us, and when Reddit saw the male doll, they totally killed our website for multiple days because we got so many hits.
You know.
He doesn't, you know, actually, so this sex doll is hairless.
It feels absolutely indistinguishable from a real
person.
She also
says it's indistinguishable from a real person, which no,
like the dick part is.
Yeah, she cuddles with him.
This girl had to get drunk to do this.
Absolutely, she's slurring. She's also a famous actress, and not super famous, but like somewhat. And I think she's also famous for doing like sex positive kind of work.
Yeah.
I like her, but I also am like, why are you lying, girl?
Yeah.
Don't lie about this. Don't promote this sex doll.
Left to my own devices, I could be with a male doll, touching his chest, like having sex with him, and really be lost in my own fantasy.
I just wanted to expose that to you because it made me very uncomfortable to watch. And the fact that it's a documentary, I don't know. Anyway, I had a lot of opinions about that. But I want to leave on this thought.
Yes.
There are people out there in the world who want to have sex with dead bodies.
Yeah.
Right? Or, you know, they fetishize non-consensual sex, or maybe they fetishize underage infantilization.
Yeah.
Sex dolls are an interesting answer to that. You're not hurting anybody. And you're feeding that fetish and it could be healthy.
Yes.
And so I left this going, I would never, ever in my life want to be involved with having a sex doll. It just is not for me.
No.
But realizing that like this could be literally like a mental health service.
Yes.
If it was thought of that way.
Yeah.
And that's all.
Yeah. I'm for
so
that.
I wanted to leave on a positive societal note, you know?
I'm for that.
There's a lot of bad things about the porn industry, and this is not necessarily a good thing, but it could be great.
I don't think it's doing anything bad.
It's not hurting anybody, which I appreciate.
It's not doing anything bad one way or the other.
Nope.
But you're right. It could serve a greater purpose.
Yeah, and I hope it does.
It has a higher calling.
You know me, I'm a radical.
Yes.
If I ever was elected into office, which is fucking impossible, I think one of my first pieces of legislation would be that... you know, if you qualify, if you have the appropriate mental illness, that I think you should be able to just pay a low copay on your sex doll.
Yes.
The government should pay for them if you need them, if you qualify, you know.
How much are they?
They're like 15 grand. Okay. They're very expensive.
Oh, wow.
But
15
grand. But so is like a CPAP machine or a dialysis thing or insulin pump.
I was thinking like,
right?
I was thinking like 5 grand. 15 grand's a lot of money.
They're a lot. Maybe on the high end. I'm sure there are ones that are cheaper.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and I could, you know, if you need it for your mental health, like, you know, another thing, like handicapped people often have trouble finding sexual partners.
Yes.
You know, what if this was provided to them so they could feel like they have a sense of sexuality?
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Why not? I'd invest in
anyone's
it. I don't want to yuck anyone's yums, and I invest in it. And that's all. So on that note of the positivity of technology in porn,
let's listen to some more conversations.
Yeah.
About it.
Yeah, let's go. So, and I mentioned this to Meredith before you came on, or before you got here, that you have a really, really great story about Was it the Avians award show or was it the convention?
I went to both. So we filmed that documentary series that ended with that documentary footage that ended with me. We were the only documentary crew that was on the AVN red carpet, which was awesome.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah. And then we filmed for 2 days at the AVN expo that had been there. Which is where the big takeaway I think from the expo was that I didn't know this, but the money in porn is in camming.
Yes.
By an overwhelming degree. Like the biggest booths at the AVNs, like Vixen, they had a massive booth. Then Chatterbait and My Free Cams. These are all camming websites. They control the money in the AVNs. They control the money. And my issue with this is, I don't know if I'm skipping a little bit,
go for it.
My issue with this is that I don't know morally where I stand on camming at this point, because on the one hand, it gives the performers agency.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It
absolutely.
Gives them independence. It's removed a barrier to entry that a lot of women a lot of women and men who would need this outlet for financial reasons. It takes away that barrier where they're able to do it and they're doing it on their own terms.
Right.
However, I don't know who's looking out for these girls.
Yeah.
And the bigger problem that I saw was that these cam booths were, imagine like 50 desktop, screens. And behind each screen was like an 18-year-old white girl from the Midwest. And depending on how white and young she looked, she would age herself down even more to look like a Korean child.
Right.
And as much as I don't think there's any, I'm not going to yuck anybody's yum. However, if this is where the money in porn is and this is where the eyes in porn is, there needs to be a global discussion about how these girls are aging themselves down, not to 16, 15, but to 12, 10, 8.
Yeah.
That is a big problem for us is like, cause we've been we actually, in terms of like the way porn looks now, we are like examining that a lot because of the porn we're watching now, which is all from the 80s and 90s.
Right. Because we're watching vintage porn. It's such a stark difference.
These women are like
what we see
professional women, right?
Women who 25 at the youngest.
Yeah, yeah. Women who paid a lot of money to look like adult women by having really large breasts
or bleach or manicures.
Straight up, that's like the difference is that like the girls at the cam booths, they don't have any hair on the outside of their head.
And it's just like there's sometimes where you're just watching and you're like, or there's like a MILF on screen and you're like, thank God. Like
I've specifically started watching porn. Let's talk about our porn habits a little bit. I've lately been watching porn that's either like big naturals or this, my new favorite phrase is POG, which is PAWG, fat ass white girl.
Yeah.
Because if the girl is
not just throwing pogs at someone.
That would be 90s. Fun.
No. But the reason is because those categories are filled with one, women who don't have traditionally like porn star bodies.
Right.
They tend to be women who look real and have real bodies, but also because they are real women, they look like they're of age.
Right.
They're not prepubescent, tiny, tiny things.
Yeah.
They look like women in their 20s and 30s. And so like I gravitate towards that because everything else is so like unnerving.
So
like I have a sister who's 19 and sometimes I have to like turn away from these things because I look at them and I'm like, oh my God, same age.
Yeah.
Sickening.
They're so artificial. It's so like, there's so much artificiality to it. And then it's also like, I don't want to even talk to an 18-year-old girl or
be friends
with an
18-year-old
girl.
Obnoxious.
I certainly don't want to watch them masturbating on a cam, like as a cam girl.
And I was 18 and doing that when I was 18. I mean, not in porn, but I was doing that in the privacy of my own home. So I know that it's perfectly fine for young women and young men to be sexual.
Yeah.
But like we as adults should not be sexualizing them.
Yeah.
Yes. Which I think
it's just creepy. It's a creepiness. Yeah. And I don't know. I think that over the past couple, especially over the past couple of years, when there's been, with the Me Too movement, there's been a side thing of like shining a light on like pedophilia.
Oh yeah,
and so like that has been a very 18 is the age of consent, but 18 is still 18 at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, if you want to talk about the second issue I have with this, these girls are 18 years old from the middle. Like I don't know if we should be allowing 18-year-olds to be camming.
I don't think so.
And I 21, I think it should be 21.
21, yeah.
I think 21 is the age. I think 18 is way too young.
Our brains are not even close to developed at even 21.
I can't imagine.
To the
like,
point of those decisions.
I just, we were interviewing girls and like, I'm looking back at the footage now and like, there's so many questions that like pop in my head where, and one of the things is like, these girls were so young and I know that like,
well, they
years
had to,
down the line.
If they were 18 the moment they started, they had to be introduced to the industry before.
Beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so also, it's like, if you want to talk about camming is like is the natural answer to social media and like the, you know, the social media and
promoting
and like
your brand,
TikTok and Vine. And, you know, like the way that like teenagers interact with each other isn't just on like a texting, you know, mono, you know, like a single plane, like it is right. So much bigger than it is right now. And camming is the answer to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So all of the risks that come with teenagers having access to the entire internet is I don't know what the word would be, like, is magnified, in camming.
Yeah.
I have a question for you that's kind of weird.
Yes. Yeah.
And it really just comes from a place of pure
curiosity.
When's
the last time you cried?
No,
this is on
par with that. Okay. Yeah. So you're interviewing girls who are like under 20.
Yeah.
And talking to them about their
careers.
We
didn't ask age. I assumed they were 18.
And you're a man who's approaching 30.
Yeah.
So you're old enough to like understand long-term consequences and decision-making.
Yeah.
Did you ever have the thought like, God, this girl would be so easy to manipulate?
Manipulate.
I'm not saying you are that person, but I'm saying like that is kind of the world that they're in, right?
I will say this. I manipulate's a weird term, just because honestly, manipulate's a weird term, just because that entire week, like I could not think of a less sexy week. I shared a bed with my manager the last 2 days.
That. Yeah.
However, like 1,000%, these girls can be talked into stuff. I know that when we were at the AVNs, there was a thing where like I. It was hinted at that there were people there who would also be the guys who would be pretending, but they would be like, oh, I have a chat channel. Like, why don't you come into my room and like, we'll collaborate on something like that.
Oh.
And like, not, you know, you don't know the size of that person's following, you don't know, X, Y, Z or whatever.
Right.
So there is definitely that. And it is all about like pushing, you know, your own brand and like trying to figure out a way to, you know, get yourself seen in as many outlets as possible.
Right,
so yeah,
sure.
1,000%. If I want, 1,000%.
Yeah, because that's my feeling about camming, that goes like the idea that they have their own agency and they have their own brand and that these women get to keep a large portion of their money, which they don't, because the companies that are managing their cams actually keep. But for me, the big thing is like these girls are so young that they're getting really, really like, even just by people who follow them religiously and give them enough money, that they are getting manipulated.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really have an answer.
Well,
the
attention
itself.
That's
something nobody says that out. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, it's the attention itself, right? Like,
also,
like,
it's very addicting.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
You just, your judgment gets clouded.
Yeah.
It's like, it's difficult to know what is a good decision and what is a bad decision.
And I'm not one for censorship. I think if you want to be naked on camera and it's legal, you fucking go for it. But it is like, maybe if you're going to be naked on camera, let's sit down and have a seminar about your rights.
Yeah.
Like,
or to be completely honest, like, I think that the line is that like, you should be able to cam at 18 and be nude at 21.
That makes sense.
That's in my head.
Like
that
camming,
was where,
like camming your life, like live streaming your life.
Oh, good point.
As
we
like,
are kind
as like
of
an
live
exhibitionism,
streaming our lives,
like that's exhibitionism as in itself, even if you're not naked. Yeah.
There's like a big dip. That's kind of like where I fell, like after all of this.
That makes sense.
Because I don't think, to be honest, like a lot of these girls, I can imagine that home life isn't great.
Yeah.
And if this is a way for them to make a little money, if there's, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
However, those two issues of they're so young and there's no one looking after them.
Right.
I feel like putting that block there.
Well, and it's like, personal. It's actually, I listened to it's probably a couple episodes now whenever this episode, our episode gets released, but I was listening to the episode of Reply All that came out yesterday, and they were talking about like the creepiness of kids. Like kid shows, like young
the Momo
kids.
Thing.
Yeah, the young kid shows. And I thought this was very interesting, was that there's like a pedophile ring on YouTube where it's like, if there's like a young kid that has like a, a skirt or something that's just like a little bit shorter, or like you see your
bathtub
underwear
stuff,
or
online,
like if you just see if you're a pedophile, you'll put exactly the time in the comments of where like that happened.
and because of the YouTube algorithm, you'll like once you click one video, you'll start getting all the others.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. And there's no way to police this stuff. It's so legal.
I mean, well, they took comments off of all kid videos, but then you have to go there in and identify which videos are with kids in them.
Right.
Oh, man.
We're
at a part now in society where this is all... Okay, this is an example I'll give and that will kind of explain like what I'm getting at. I was at Elite Daily... when GIFs started becoming like okay, like let's get like live GIFs off of like live events or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you were able to do this because there were no rules written about GIF usage. It wasn't a thing. The government
Right.
I don't know what it is like now. I still think it is like a mostly thing, but you know, if I'm Elite Daily, I can make a GIF out of something that happens on NBC. It's just, they're not going to come after me.
Right.
That's camming.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Oh, meaning you could steal someone's feed and sell it?
Oh, no. I more mean that it's the Wild West. There's no rules yet out there because no one understands it. Like, you've watched the Facebook, you know, Senate committee hearings and stuff like that. Like, it's people that are like, you know, they don't understand.
Well, it's also old people who don't understand the internet that are the ones that are making the rules.
To retire. Yeah, you're exactly. So old.
Or die. Just please die.
You invented Social Security. Can you use it, please?
Yeah. You invented.
Take advantage of the thing you pushed through.
Congress since 1935. You invented
literally made Social Security. You're probably the last people who are going to benefit from it. Use it, you 75-year-old idiot.
You fucks.
Anyway, but yes, you're right. They don't understand the internet, so it's impossible for them to create legislature that completely encompasses the needs of the internet.
I don't know.
Oh, talk a little bit about. I want you to talk a little bit about how unsexy being at a porn event is.
I will say, if you have a porn addiction, go to the AVN. 2 days in, you will hate.
Really?
Boobs.
Oh, like, it's like a cleanse.
Yeah.
Okay. This is your intervention. Yeah. This is your rehab facility. Just go and get
1,000%. It was everywhere. What's interesting about the AVNs is that you're not allowed to be nude in the AVNs, but you're allowed to have pictures of nudity. Oh. So every porn star was in swimsuit in front of a large
picture.
Naked. Yeah.
That's great.
Like a mass of the size of like this wall.
You couldn't be topless. Just,
that's weird,
like,
that you can't be naked because you can be nude as a woman in New York and that's not illegal.
What about,
and maybe
what
it was
about,
just
like,
a
painted,
it was in, the facility
see, like, painted bods?
Painted
pasties.
Body.
Pasties.
Yeah, it was pasties was like the minimum.
Okay.
No one was allowed to show some boob.
Okay.
Meredith and I have that experience, and the fact that we grew up together and then we'll sit in a room and for 3 hours watch porn, and it's like the very last thing I ever want to do is masturbate, have sex, look at another naked fucking body.
But isn't that also because there's someone in the room with you? Like,
no, not even that. Like, I watched your movie that you helped make today, and because I was like cooking and watching it and unconcerned with sex, and also it's not your movie, but we'll go ahead and just give you ownership of it in this room, gave me like whiplash at how intense the sex was.
It's intense
in it.
Sex. It
and
is
I don't,
really intense.
I don't know if it's... I don't know if
it was... Mascara.
It's very modern sex. I was we've been watching such old porn. I forgot modern sex was.
I forgot. I think I turned away from it. I was literally making myself an egg sandwich, and I turned away, and I was like, is she throwing up? Because that's what it sounded like. And I turned around concerned. Like, I had my mom moment. I was like, oh, dear.
What was that?
She's fine.
Where, like, forced blowjob was, like, the number one, like, Pornhub search for, like,
I don't understand. Well, particularly because a lot of the movies that we're watching, deep throating is not a thing.
Not yet. Yeah.
Yeah, and
well, also
forced
not Viagra. So there's not like.
Oh
it
yeah,
takes
guys,
a lot
they come
of, like,
so fast.
It's, or it's like it takes a lot of like work to get them there. Right?
There's
like,
every
it's not
scene
a,
has extended cunnilingus
to get men like
in these old porns.
Oh, it's, okay. Wait,
because
that's
Viagra
so
doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
Anything like pre 95 is actually like very woman focused because the guys can't be hard for all that long.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, there's a plethora of great content out there. It's wonderful. It's all free. It's great because all the distribution companies
so guys
are under.
Were coming faster in porn in the. That is fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. It's great.
Wait, what? Like, what is. Okay, what's like the time difference, average time difference, you think?
Well, like your porn, there it's 30
Hamilton,
minutes long,
it's 30...
25 minutes worth of sex. Like, okay. There's more sex.
These,
than...
these porns are 8 to 11 at most.
Yeah.
And okay. I would say 5 minutes of it is cunnilingus or fingering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot of foreplay.
Uh-huh.
That's fascinating.
There's also a lot of like dissolved transitions between one angle of penetration to the other angle.
That's because it was made in iMovie.
Wait, you're talking about your movie?
No, I don't know. It's funny, the idea of like watching a porn and then being like, hey, I know that slide transition.
That's true.
That is what we say now, though. Yeah. I mean,
that's Everest. That's the menu on my bar mitzvah DVD.
Oh my god,
you're not wrong with some of that.
That's true.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, yes. But the we have been only really watching these older porns, and then watching Hamilton was jarring.
I will say another. This is the thing I have noticed. I feel like male porn stars now. Don't enjoy it as much as
they do
male
like
porn stars.
Truly working.
Yeah. Like there's like.
Well, women too. Like all of them. They all like they. Mm-hmm. That's what I was wondering. Yeah. Like how much of this, like how besides you not thinking that the AVNs were sexy, how many of those women really like
they
that?
Probably
or, how many porn well, stars, okay, male or women, really thought that what they were doing was sexy?
Okay. Yeah. So this is another thing I realized about the AVNs is that when I went there. In my head, I was like, oh, man, I bet this is like 3 days of just like women just like putting up with stuff.
Right.
Sure.
Who didn't want it is reverse. I think it's reverse. I think that it is not reverse. And that's reverse is the wrong word. It is the porn stars are professional as all hell.
Right.
Sure.
They handle. You know, the people that go to the AVNs, you know, the clientele may not be the least creepy people.
Right.
They handle it with such perfect. Everyone is treated like a human. We were walking with Sunny Lane. Sunny Lane, I ended up walking down the red carpet with. Sunny Lane's 2-time AVN award winner. She's hilarious and great. We were walking down from after the red carpet because we had to get our partner to her hotel because she had to change into her second outfit for the AVNs.
Oh, so, I love that.
Yeah. So we're walking her through the Hard
That's
Rock.
That's how important I am.
Yeah. The outfits at the AVNs, I'll show you some pictures.
Okay,
holy crap.
Okay,
there's
okay.
One dress that had Kanye's face on it that I was like, this is a gown.
Wow.
You can wear this to
we
the policeman's
to
ball.
Yes.
So we're walking through the Hard Rock and two dudes start fighting each other, and Sunny Lane, who is 5 feet tall, tops, she's maybe 15 pounds. She walks into the middle of these two guys and just breaks it up and goes, guys, stop fighting. And then they just stop fighting. And then I see her walk over to a dude in a wheelchair, put her hand on his shoulder, whisper something in his ear, and then his face lit up like the 4th of July. She was like motherfucking Teresa.
Wow.
Like in that moment. And that was like every porn star there was like, they knew what they were, you know, they just
they
handled
were
it so
they
well.
They are people, like people person.
They
like,
are
they
people.
They just know how to like, they
yeah.
know
yeah.
like exactly how to, that's wonderful. I love that. That really, yeah. that really makes, that's a really nice story.
A humanized
porn star.
Like
she just knew exactly the right thing to say to all of them to like, to dissolve a situation one way or the other, make them happy or like calm them down. Like. That is lovely.
I do think, well...
efficiency. She doesn't have fucking time to waste.
No. Right? Porn stars are like the ultimate kind of, not necessarily maternal, but like caretakers, right? Because they're in our minds. They're getting us off. They're giving us what we want. They're probably at the end of every angry troll and every creepy stalker. And they have to figure out a way to navigate that and be forgiving. And be like... these are humans. Humans have issues. This isn't about me.
Occupational hazard, right? A little bit, right? Like she knew that this was going to be something she has to deal with, and you have to do it in like the best way possible, right? I mean, like that's
this isn't. It's not guys exploiting women. It's even. Like it really is even. Like they know the service they're offering, and the guys. I will also say this. At every moment of the AVNs, at no point did I feel like anybody was overstepping. And the reason why was because everyone made sure to ask, like, is this okay? Can I,
right,
you know,
yeah,
can we,
of course,
you know, can I you know, put my arm around you, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, everyone was very, you know, cognizant of that. This is a weird situation. Porn has its issues, 1,000%. Right, but I course, do not, I honestly, God, don't think it has its issues more than finance, politics, tech.
If anything, in some ways, like, they're forced to have to address consent on a daily, every second basis. So it's like, if any industry is going to be like the front runner of consent in the Me Too movement, it's gonna be porn in some ways. Like, they're gonna be Me Too'd before anything else.
It's also an industry that you cannot have without vaginas,
right?
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of other industries have been running without women for a long time.
Right.
Porn you cannot have without the women there participating.
Female, I'm sure that the percentages of female directors and like female led productions is way higher than
in Hollywood. It actually is.
Well, and it's
is.
Also even in, like, I mean, I'm especially, I would say, I don't know what the statistics are like in modern porn, but there are quite a few porns that we've watched from like early on and
from the 80s.
Porns,
yeah.
They are written and directed by women. Like the main, well, a lot of the main characters are women, no matter
but
what.
Like, but executive producers. Like,
It's there's one woman,
Ashlyn Gears, who you're thinking of?
Well, no, who was the one? Mistress Pussycat.
Oh God, what was her name? Joyce Snyder.
Yes.
She Meryl wrote- Streep's name. It's Meryl Streep's Hollywood name.
No, it's this. It's an incredible, crazy story of a woman. But she produced a movie that won AVN's like best movie. Mm-hmm. She produced and wrote it, and then she went on to write for a bunch of kink magazines. And then she became like a 50-year-old female dominatrix. Like, and I bought her book and read it, and she's nuts. But she was like, apparently, that's what it was like in the '80s. It was a lot of women in production.
Yeah. I mean, it tracks for. I think that Hamilton was directed by.
It was.
It was April O'Neil, right?
It was directed by a woman. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, you know, it is. That's that part of the industry.
And I think, Meredith, what you were saying about porn stars, or actually, I think you were saying this as well about porn stars, like, working really hard and it not being enjoyable, sex not being enjoyable. Right. And the reason because you're wearing the Firefest sweater.
That's right. I'm wearing a Firefest sweater that I bought off Etsy. If you go on Etsy right now, there's a lot of Firefest clothes on there.
There's the line in the Firefest documentaries where Billy McFarlane and Ja Rule say, what is it, like, party like rock stars.
Fuck like porn stars.
They say three things. They say something like something, party like rock stars, and fuck like porn stars. And I was in a conversation with someone and I was like, porn stars don't have fun fucking. I would never want to fuck like a porn star. It sounds like a nightmare.
I
want to fuck like a normal person.
I was curious what porn stars do like regular sex wise. You know?
I think they probably don't have a lot of sex at home.
Interesting.
Or if they do, it's so incredibly boring that they fetishize it.
I guess that you'd have to be like into, I mean, wait, or is it the reverse where like,
missionary is very fetish for them. Like, that's the kink.
Yeah, if you're having like crazy, crazy sex during the day, you know, and now you probably have like nice casual.
We're just gonna masturbate next to each other. Right
now,
that's it.
I had a
naps.
Actually, I
tell
had
each other I love you.
Napsturbate. Yeah.
Look at you lovingly in the eyes and say I love you.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, that's sad. Porn stars making eye contact with their husbands.
Actually, I had a roommate who was a bartender and worked at a bar in Midtown. And every year at the AVNs, he worked at like a dive Irish bar. A lot of the stars would come there because there weren't people there at this like shitty Irish bar. And one year he brought a woman home who won best blowjob. And that was like her big thing. And she was essentially, the story was like, he was this Irish guy who was like young and kind of cute. And he's behind the bar serving drinks to a bunch of porn stars. And the one girl was like, I won best blowjob. He was like, oh, it's really great. And she was like, I'll show you. And like came home with him. Cause I think, I don't know, they don't care.
Right.
There's no shame. And his favorite thing about it was at one point she was like, give me your green Irish cum. But she said it and he paused and it made her laugh so hard that he knew that she was just saying it because she was like, I'm a porn star and I get to do whatever I want. And so I really hope. Because there's no boundaries. Man. You're a porn star. You've done it all.
That.
So I hope that
give
that's
how
they have
germs.
I hope it's on giggles.
She was like, that's the first time I said that. I'm going to remember
it
that.
Came
that's in the spank thing. That was great.
Oh.
We need to have more guests.
So funny. We need more guests.
If you are a porn star or in the porn industry.
Or in the porn industry.
Please reach out to us.
Oh my God, yes. You can email us at twbdpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
Or you can DM us.
Yeah, we'd love that. On Instagram or Twitter.
At there will be PRN because you cannot spell porn on the internet.
And again, you can follow Eitan Levine at Eitan the Goalie on social media.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And EitanLevine.com. You can find his website there.
And rate and subscribe. I mean, you're probably already subscribed because you're here. Hi. But rate us.
Please, bitch.
We love it.
Love you.
We love you so much. And as always,
cheers to a happy ending.
Cheers to a happy ending. And dad bods.
Yeah, always dad bods.